I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
Thank you, Isabella. We begin our Lenten journey today with Jesus in the wilderness. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus goes into the desert to be baptized by John the Baptist. And as he rises from the water, the heavens open, the Spirit in the form of a dove lands on him, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And immediately afterward, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Listen for God's word to you. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" And then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'God will command the angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All this I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only God.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. When you are passing through a particularly desolate place, do you ever think about the people who came before you? Wonder about the native people who lived there first and those who followed afterward? Inscription Rock in New Mexico gives us a glimpse into the history of one such place. Has anyone ever been there? No? All right. It is west of Albuquerque, between a Navajo reservation and the Zuni Pueblo. It's in the middle of nowhere. The mesas of Inscription Rock tower above the surrounding desert, and at the bottom of the mesa, there's a natural catch basin filled with water. Water is the reason that humans have made their way to this place and left their mark on Inscription Rock. Literally left their mark. Because Inscription Rock is like a giant guest book. Travelers have carved their names into the sandstone, and they did so until 1906, when President Teddy Roosevelt made it a national monument. 1,000 years ago, the ancient Pueblo Indians carved petroglyphs into the stones. In 1605, Don Juan de Oñate, the Spanish governor of New Mexico, carved his name in the rock in beautiful Castilian Spanish, and many other conquistadors left their mark there too. There's one amusing carving that reads, "This 14th day of July, 1736, passed by here the general Juan Paez Hurtado, inspector, And directly below it, carved in a different hand, it says, "And in his company, the corporal, Joseph Trujillo." That may be the closest that the corporal ever got to the general. The last Spanish carving was in 1774, and after that, all of the inscriptions are in English, signaling the passing of this territory from the hands of the Spanish into those of the Americans. There are signatures of engineers and surveyors for the Union Pacific Railroad, as well as pioneers and adventurers like 12-year-old Sally Fox, who was traveling in a wagon train headed to California in 1858. P. Gilmer Breckinridge of Virginia left his mark in 1859. He traveled with 25 camels who did not sign their names. The Army was testing the use of camels in the southwestern desert. Maybe you've heard that story. There are over 1,000 carvings at Inscription Rock. It's fascinating and beautiful, a record of people passing through the wilderness. The question for archaeologists remains, why did so many people feel compelled to carve their names on these cliffs at Inscription Rock? Maybe it was a way to leave a mark, to remind the world of their existence. In such a dangerous land, it was quite possible that some of those travelers might not survive the journey, and their signature was a sign of their presence, their identity. The wilderness has a way of making everyone, even Spanish conquistadors, feel small and insignificant. And by carving their name into the rock, they claimed a piece of that wilderness for themselves, as if to say, "I am here. I am somebody. Remember me." The story of Jesus' temptation in the desert is also about identity. It's about Jesus' relationship with God and his acceptance of his God-given role. The timing of this incident in Jesus' life is crazy. It's dizzying how quickly he goes from the high of his baptism to being led into the wilderness by the very same Spirit that descended upon him in the form of a dove. Matthew records that after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, Jesus is tempted by the devil. The beloved Son of God left in the wilderness, hungry and alone for 40 days and nights, where he has an encounter with the personification of evil. Not exactly the sort of treatment that you might expect for the beloved Son of God. Unless you are a student of the Hebrew Bible, who knows the history of the people of God and remembers that powerful things happen in the wilderness. Jesus' 40 days and 40 nights parallels Moses' 40 years wandering in the wilderness with the people of God. 40 years in which Moses and the people meet God repeatedly in a hostile environment, often in the midst of life-threatening circumstances. This wilderness experience marked the people of God. It became a central part of their identity and a permanent piece of their narrative. And Jesus' wilderness experience did the same. Three times the devil came to Jesus, questioning his identity and his commitment. "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Demonstrate your power." And when Jesus refuses, the devil tries again. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple. Test God's love and faithfulness." Jesus refuses again. This time, the devil tries to bribe Jesus by showing him the kingdoms of the world and all of their wonders. "If you worship me, I will give all of this to you." Jesus rejects this temptation as well. Three times, the devil tempts Jesus to leave God behind, to go his own way, to reject the kingdom of God for the kingdom of the earth. And three times, Jesus says no, quoting scripture, reaffirming his allegiance to God. It's easy, tempting even, to turn this story into some kind of morality play. Jesus resisted temptation. We should resist temptation too. But that's not the point of the story. Not really. None of our temptations, big or small, are comparable to Jesus' temptations. The devil's temptations for Jesus are insidious. He is going after Jesus' identity as the Son of God, trying to destroy their relationship. That's what this story is all about. If we really want to understand Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, then we need to consider our own identity in Christ and our own relationship with God. It's easy to get confused about identity, to forget who we are and whose we are. But these tests and questions come at us all the time, every single day, in fact. Who are you? Who do you choose to love and to serve? Who has God called you to be? If we want to go deeper, if we want to travel with Jesus, then we have to go into the wilderness. I read a National Geographic article this week. It's called, "This Is Your Brain on Nature." This article describes what happens to our brains when we spend time in nature. Scientists call it the three-day effect. Our brains naturally get tired, and when we slow down, stop working, and spend time in a beautiful natural environment for at least 3 days, it has a demonstrable positive cognitive effect. We feel better. Our mental performance improves. We are more creative and better at problem solving. The article says it's like a cleaning of the mental windshield. There are all different kinds of wilderness experiences. National Geographic is advocating a sojourn in nature, which has benefits for every aspect of our lives. But I imagine that going into the wilderness cleans our spiritual windshields as well as our mental windshields. It's those metaphorical wilderness experiences that get really hard. When you get that phone call in the middle of the night, or the diagnosis that you've been dreading, and you wonder how you're gonna make it through. In the normal course of life, we will all find ourselves in the wilderness sometimes, and those are the places that we would really rather skip altogether. These are the wilderness experiences that make us wonder if God is there. Are we alone? Surely in those 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus wondered the same. We cannot forget, however, that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, God's Spirit. So clearly the wilderness was an important part of his journey, and it was only by experiencing the loneliness, the hunger, and the fear that he could begin his ministry. Jesus had to go through the wilderness to get to the other side. No matter how painful it is to make that journey into the wilderness, it shapes us and teaches us, if we let it. Consider your own life. As you look back, can you see the wilderness experiences, those times of grief and pain, of disappointment and loss, of anger and fear? The wilderness tests us. It pushes us beyond what we think we can endure, and at the same time, it also helps to clarify things, to simplify them, and to bring the truth into focus. It forces us to acknowledge again, in a deeper way, who we are and whose we are. We are God's beloved. We belong to God. It is entirely possible to be God's beloved and to be in deep pain at the same time. This is not a love that is always safe and easy. It takes courage to keep going through the wilderness, to trust that God will bring us safely to the other side. Jesus' 40 days and 40 nights remind us that he has gone ahead of us, forging a path through the wilderness, ensuring that we can make it, that we can do this. One thing is certain. You never leave the wilderness the same as when you entered it. By God's grace, it will change you, it will transform you, and you will leave stronger than when you entered. Amen.